Okay, welcome back. And of all the writers at Rents.com, and there are some very good ones, none shines brighter than Jim Kerwin in terms of his true dedication, his passion, his incendiary way with words. He puts it out there in a way that very few do. He is speaking directly from his soul, his heart, his mind, and as they say, his gut. He tells it like it is, and people like it. I get compliments all the time to pass along to him. I unfortunately don't pass them on as often as I should, but he is literally revered around the world as one of the few Americans who is able to quantify and qualify things quickly, easily, and it's almost like he is an intellectual everyman, the way he speaks and writes, and it's great to have Jim Kerwin back with us tonight. Hello, James.
Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
As we roll into the end of the year, I'm like you. I'm appalled, stunned, constantly flabbergasted with how much lower it goes. They seem to be plumbing the depths of depravity, and certainly the deconstruction of this country has increased apace so much so that it is mind-boggling. 15 years ago, I could not imagine the in-your-face, in-our-faces demolishing the demolition of our constitutional republic at the rate at which it's going. I mean, they don't give a tinker's damn about us anymore. They own the courts, they own the Congress, they own practically everything. When you own the media and the money, I mean, what else is there? And I'll shut up on that.
It's fascinating that the United States Supreme Court has not had a damn thing to say about any of this. I thought that the Supreme Court was capable of reading the Constitution, but perhaps I'm wrong.
I can't
imagine how they could allow this to continue without having interfered at some point.
It is unimaginable, and yet the bottom line is that's right.
To erase the government is right in front of the entire world is absolutely astounding. I mean, you can't remove the founding document, the Constitution of the country, without removing at the same time the entire validity of the government as it sits today. So with no validity, they continue to shove this thing down our throat as if it's a done deal, as if we have no say whatsoever in what comes up. And today they declared war on the United States with this red and blue thing that just came out this afternoon, basically saying that they, in their supremacy over the rest of us, have decided that everybody that's not part of the government is the enemy of the United States of America.
Literal, folks. This is not figurative.
The literal enemy
of this country.
Mm-hmm. And for people to, the people that have had all this time with their heads buried firmly in the sand, to not say anything for fear of their jobs, for fear of the future, pretending that tomorrow will not, what we'll actually see the rebirth of yesterday is ludicrous. And anybody with a brain, anybody can track facts that can pay attention to where this country is going and may go much quicker now, too. It's just beyond belief. And I went tonight to one of my favorite places to have a farewell dinner for myself, figuring that this is probably the last time I'm going to have a chance to do that, so I wasted a lot of money and had a good time, and basically explained to the people where I was that life is over, as far as they're concerned, and if I see them next week, it'll be a miracle. They were astounded, and I explained chapter and verse exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You and I could be
cellmates next week.
They said, what are you celebrating? I said, this is my last supper. I'm having a really good time here. Pour me another drink. They said, you're exaggerating. I said, I'm not exaggerating.
The sheep
had you
don't
paid care. Any attention to this, half as much attention as you pay to what wonderful food you're having. You know, all you foodies over there, all those, that fun crowd and that other bunch over there that loves football, you guys are going to be history in a week, maybe 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's about what you have left. So why don't you just, you know, really celebrate, just dig deep in your pockets, get good and drunk, have a really good time, because it's over, guys. You didn't do anything.
Nothing.
We have, I've been fighting this goddamn war for 47 years.
Yeah.
We have not won a single time. We have not even tried to push back. We must learn how to say no. We have, all we have done is just remain silent. And silence in the face of this is submission.
By our silence we allow. And by the way, the Occupy Wall Street movement was so pitiable. Just an obscenity.
Since 2003, Jeff, this has been going on. Yeah. We just got plugged in recently, but it's been going on since 2003 throughout the world. And we let these people in $600 a night hotel rooms in New York City control the agenda for this whole thing. And we pretend that these people are somebody, that they're doing something.
Right.
Tonight they came out with this thing. On the 17th of January, they're promising to occupy Congress. Excuse me? Too late? Too little? They should be in jail. Okay, these people are purporting and helping the institution.
They are. You're correct. You're absolutely right. The little pissant things that they do are absolutely playing into the hands of those they claim to oppose, and I could not agree with you more. Perfectly said.
I am so tired of all these little people. I mean, I wrote to a few people that constantly bombard my site with literally hundreds of emails every day.
Yeah.
I said, take me off your list. 20 minutes later, an hour later, they're still doing it. I wrote them another message. I said, can you not read? Take me off your pitiful list.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You can't do this. You're talking about junk. We're in the middle of the end of our lives, and you're talking about crap that has nothing to do with anything except taking up everybody else's time. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to ever stop, but the point is, I mean, I delete something like 750 emails a day from people like this.
Wow.
And
yeah, there are a lot of them out there.
Come on.
God.
Yeah.
It is so pathetic. You know, you're a writer, and many of you out there listening enjoy Jim's writing, and many of you are probably writers as well, and you've done your best. And we have achieved nothing. We have been pushed back every single step of the way. We have not won victory to look to. Well, some of you might say Vietnam. Maybe we did in Vietnam. Well, maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. That's debatable. At least the people were out there in the streets, and they were
scraps of the media then.
That's right.
They didn't buy out the media till after Vietnam.
That's right. No, that was the big difference. And they know. They learned their lesson. They said, well, we got to pick it up, tighten it up, own it, buy it, sew it up. And they did. And it's done. You don't have access to the media, folks. You guys know this. It's done. And when you have things like the Communist News Network with Wolf Blintz, or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what his name is.
Blitzer.
I know.
Yeah.
Blintzer. It should be, anyway. That guy's disgusting. The whole network is disgusting. What they did to Ron Paul with their editing. These people are literally creating dime store propaganda and mind control crap and spewing it out, and nobody notices. I mean, you'll find that days later it'll come out, and they'll say, well, we got the raw footage, and he didn't really walk out.
You know, the half-baked point of this is that how many times, in real life, okay, forget politics, in the real life version of this, if you were going to buy a car from somebody that lied to you as much as the politicians lied, would you go back to that lot ever again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people lie consistent. Every minute of every day is a lie. And how they can continue to ignore this.
Isn't that amazing?
Another chance, and they're really on your side, but you just can't see it. Or don't be so pessimistic. I'm sorry. After a while, it becomes our problem that we have not recognized what's actually happened to us. We have been screwed, blued, and tattooed over and over and over again by these people. And the public, I don't know, do they not have a bottom line someplace where they a place where they now will not go? Because if that's true, then we're done. If on the other hand, there is a bottom line, there is something that they will cling to and not, I mean, we're talking about their children, we're talking about their extended families, we're talking about their lives, their dreams, their work, their future, everything is on the line here. This isn't just, you know, a pittance or a tax or a one-time thing. Most of these people think that they can store up food, hide in the woods, and this is going to blow over. It's not possible. These people want it all. And they're willing to go, clearly, by the information that was released tonight, they're willing to put this entire country on notice that everybody that is not wearing a government badge that can transmit to the government that they are on their side is the enemy. I mean, that's men, women, and children. People that have no interest in politics will be caught up in this, whether they want to be or not. And they don't understand that these people are serious. They're coming for everything there is, and that includes your life.
They will execute.
I just wish we'd wake up.
Yeah, well, I do too, but even if we wake up, I'm not sure the resolve is there anymore, Jim. I don't see it. And I think your one statement that we have not won a single battle is absolutely telling, if anything.
And it isn't as if we didn't fight, those of us that care. I mean, I mean, there are thousands of people like me out there, and they have been writing religiously and fervently and with intent, and gotten, you know, they make wonderful points. Some of that work is just astounding.
No, it is. It's stellar.
And you sit there and you read that and you think, okay, that's clear. That is crystal clear.
It's like they keep lighting a match, but nothing catches fire. They light match after match, brilliant match after match. Nothing will ignite. Hold on, Jim, just a second. We have to pause. We'll be right back. Okay, and talking to Jim Kerwin, whose material is legendary, and you can read it at rents.com. He's got a full archive there as well. And I've been just thinking about some of the things that Jim has said. I've been saying them for many years. I am appalled at the younger generations. And I count two of them in there, not just the youngest. I'm counting the people up to 35, maybe even close to 40. The football, TV, sports, baseball, basketball addicts, the beer drinkers, who think that they are truly free and watch the nightly news on one of the scam networks and think they actually know a little bit about what's going on in the world. Those people are scary. They're so damn dumb and programmed, they're scary. The younger people now cannot put a good simple sentence together. You've seen them on YouTube, folks. They'll be someone in their 20s, early 20s. It doesn't matter. They can't speak right. They don't know how to use words. They cannot express themselves. They have the concept. They do not have the tools to deliver it. But above and beyond all that, when the controllers bought up the media, it was game, set, and match. They already had the money. They already had the politicians. In the last election, we sent back 86% of the career criminals back to Congress. We'll probably do something similar again this time because people believe in the system, even though the system is a dead man walking at this point.
You know what else, Jeff? I was just thinking about this today. We spent over $1 trillion on TSA.
That's right.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. You know, if we had that money, this place would not be starving. We would not be, our infrastructure would not be threatened. The country would not be in a panic. And we'd be safer because that $1 trillion was spent to stop something that never happened and still has not happened. There has not been an attack that wasn't formulated by the FBI since 9/11. And yet this country, because it is in a paranoid state of belief that they need to be protected, and they fail to ask the question, protected from what? Protected from the U.S. government, which are the people that have done the attack on 9/11 in tandem with Israel, and Zionist occupied Israel, and yet we don't get any response. They are the phobic response that comes from people, ordinary people, well-meaning people, is that we must have security. Well, you can't have security at any cost. I mean, you have to have security from what? And if you do not question what that what is, you're never going to get anywhere except ever more security that goes nowhere and does nothing, like the $1 trillion that we just spent and are continuing to spend on Homeland Security.
But it's not Homeland Security, as we all know. By now, you folks listening understand full well that Jim's point is we've spent $1 trillion on what? $1 trillion on further demeaning and programming the sheep to put up with inhuman invasions of privacy and dignities.
Exactly.
Outrageous.
The phrase Homeland Security comes from 1934, Germany, when they first set up the camp in Germany for those who disagreed with Hitler. That's where we get the phrase Homeland Security that was forced upon us by George W. Bush.
Exactly right. Poppy, yeah. Well, Poppy brought it out first, of course.
Yeah. It's just, this Zionist-occupied Israel is also going to be the trigger for the Third World War. These people have been worried about this in the subconscious mind forever. And nobody wants to examine where and how this comes about. If you eliminate the trigger for the Third World War, it won't happen. And the trigger so far, self-appointed, is Zionist-occupied Israel. If we collectively were to demand that this effort by that group be called off under pain of U.S. attack on Zionist-occupied Israel, we could end this whole thing right now. But we haven't got the guts. We will not dig into what is Zionism, where did it come from, how long has it been here. It's 66 years old so far, and it came about before Hitler, used Hitler to the extent that they could. At the end of that, they became Zionist Israel.
Right. Well, it's actually been around.
We have got to do something about that. It is our responsibility simply because we have paid them. The articles that came out today, quite recently, about, and you know something about this because you've been pushing it, the business of exposing what's been going on between China and Israel in terms of U.S. weaponry that's being sent from Israel to China at U.S. expense. We paid for that stuff. It went to Israel, and they're behind our backs. Now they're stabbing us with sending our weapons, paid for by the U.S. citizenry, to China to be used against us again. This is unconscionable. We have to do something about that. We can't sit here as citizens, read the news, and not get angry. We have to do something. I don't know how you get people to actually get motivated. But unless they get angry, nothing's going to happen. And they have insulted us on the global stage forever, from the USS Liberty and even before. They have been anything but our friend, this occupied
now,
Zionist
that,
state.
We know, and again, I urge people, just do a search. Israel selling U.S. technology. Mm-hmm. However you want to phrase it. Israel sells U.S. technology. U.S. military technology. Start reading. Look, the Patriot missiles are no surprise to those of us who've been following these people for years. They've ripped us off, made money. They don't care. Look, if that event in and of itself can be traced in any way, shape, or form directly to the Zionist, racist, apartheid state of Israel, that should be it. Never another nickel, never another penny to that alleged democracy.
But
which
they've got to be awake to do it. That's the trouble.
That's right. Absolutely right. Hold on. Back with Jim Kerwin in just a couple. Okay, back with Jim Kerwin, serving the wreckage of what was once a noble and magnificent experiment. And for all of you old enough to remember how it was in the 50s, 60s, and even the early 70s, you must be appalled. And again, I point to young people. I just saw a story today that sex between high school girls now is up to, I think, 16% from 8% of those girls who were surveyed just a few years ago. That is exploding. Men have been, of course, feminized in this country, so much so it's absurd. Women are very aggressive. The roles have been reversed. Nobody knows who they are anymore, and even fewer have the verbal skills that we had as teenagers. And I'm talking about adults. I've heard adults talk like they're dumb preteens. Tweens, I think they call them. It's sad. And they all want to be cool. They want to be their kids' best friends. Now, for you parents out there who are not like that and doing your damnedest against an almost insurmountable situation, bravo, and we support you 100,000%. But it's tough. And, you know, wherever there's a television, there is a vector of viral infection. And that virus is a stupid virus. It makes kids dumb. I saw, I'll get off the box here in a minute. I saw a little bit of television yesterday. I visited some people on Christmas for about an hour or so. They had, 90 channels or something. It was on something called, what was it? Let me see. The Travel Channel. And there was some program on there about food. It might have been, let me think, Man versus Food. I may be wrong. But it was all about gluttony. Absolute gluttony. And it was astounding the way it was produced, Jim. The scenes, cut, just scene after scene of food and people eating, and the guy, the host, whoever he is, obviously overweight, not obese, but close, eating everything. I'm not sure if he turned around and spit it out or not, but just it was all about the physical enjoyment. Well, grotesque hedonism.
Well, next time this happens to you, Jeff, you can do what I did tonight in the bar restaurant. And there were foodies there, lots of them. But what I did was I read them a couple of lines from what I just received tonight, which was that the new FEMA documents that confirm information received from DOD sources that show military involvement in a FEMA-led takeover within the United States under partially classified continuity of government plan.
Mm-hmm.
It involves not only operations for the relocation of COG personnel and key officials, population management, emergency communications and alerts, but the designation of the American people as enemies under the live military tracking system known as Blue Force Situation Awareness, BFSA. The plan for the takeover of the United States has not only been drafted, but activated. Our sources and independent research make this abundantly clear. Martial law scenarios preparing for a breakdown of order under the ongoing economic collapse are underway.
They want the order to break down, too, by the way.
Of course. And they jumped the gun. They couldn't wait for the damn thing to break. They had to release this information now to put that final spike of fear into everybody.
Uh-huh.
To say, even as pretexts for control are initiated in locales across the country, bold individuals like Ron Paul have warned that dangerous legislation like the NDAA designated the American population as potential enemies. Now there's more evidence that this targeting of the people is sadly taking place.
Right.
That thing brought the room silent.
Shut the foodies down, did you?
Shut the foodies down, and they started to question me, and I said, listen, people, you have been on notice for 15 years, and you've had your head stuck in that box up there or in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
In either way, in either case, you're going to lose. You're going to have to pull your head out of the sand, and you're going to have to do something about this now, because you're out of time. It's only a matter of days till that economic collapse happens. These people are already in place. What they're going to do is they're going to set up those FEMA camps, and the irony of ironies is they're going to make you go to those camps to surrender in order to eat. The food is on the inside of the camp.
Very
simple. The
only
way you're going to get any food is to go to them.
It's really simple. It's not. Yeah. It's not very sophisticated stuff. Yeah.
And I
they're also going to turn loose. By the way, that I don't know how you read it, but that Dutch laboratory story that they have found a way to make the H5N1 far more virulent, and it could really vector fast and kill a lot of people. Okay. Well, to me, that's a canard thrown out there to put out the plausible deniability screen in advance of a real release of something that has been done years ago. The Dutch did it. It got loose from the Dutch lab. We're sorry that 500 million people are dying. We didn't do it. The Dutch did it. You watch.
You know, it truly would be laughable if it wasn't so deadly serious. The point is that, you know, it's see-through. What kind of person would confront somebody in the regular business world and listen to these completely bogus excuses for their failure time and time again? They set it up so that somebody else can be exposed, and then they walk away and say, well, that's not us. We didn't do that. Oh, my God. help, help, help. And then they turned right around on, you know, in the flash of an eye, they turned around and said, well, we didn't have anything to do with recreating this virus so that the pandemic was possible. We didn't expect it would be released. Come on, people. Why would you allow anybody anywhere near recreating a pandemic? For whatever reason. You know, they just, it just.
Well, they used to try to defend those kinds of things by saying, well, we have to do it to protect the nation against other countries who are going to do it. We have to do it so we can come up with a way to fight it, to combat it with an antidote or some other way to inoculate against it.
Let it out of the lab.
Just happened to.
Okay.
But we'll never know. See, whenever there's a, it's amazing how much we've found out about 9/11, and that was a really an encouraging moment to watch people just all over that thing. Now, there have been obviously major disinformation efforts to obscure and otherwise obfuscate what has been found, but we know pretty damn well what happened there now. We've got we know as much about that, if not more percentage-wise, than we do about the JFK murder. But we know a lot about that, too.
Millions of pages of that, Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't
like
two people. Or three people or 10 people. This is hundreds of people, thousands of people have been working on that since 9/11. And they've come up with virtually every detail of anything and everything that happened. And for some reason, there are lots of folks out there that just refuse to listen. And you know, you can't.
What do you mean Israel was involved with it? What are you talking about? Israel wouldn't do that. Israel's our friend. They had nothing to do with it.
Then how do you explain this van with a painting on the side of a van that shows the plane hitting the first tower? It wasn't on television. And it's on the side of a van that's loaded with explosives, and it contains three Israeli agents, which happened to go back to Israel courtesy of the FBI within a month.
We're so stupid. Remember the rental truck? It was a Ryder truck, not the one at OKC, the one that came across the border at Canada, and the explosive sniffing dog went in there. And the thing was just covered with the aroma of explosives. The steering wheel, the gear shift knob, the seats. The van was empty. Who was driving it? Two illegal Israelis. So they've been ferrying explosives in here. They got pre-positioned stuff all over the country if they want to use it. I mean, it's disgusting.
You know, it goes back to OKC. It goes to what happened in Waco. I mean, all of this stuff has been out there. It's been uncovered. It's been outed. But the public mind seems to be, you know, it happened in the past, but we can't say anything about that. We got to go forward. But I got news for you. There is no statute of limitations on murder. And those people were all murdered, beginning at Waco, as far as I know, and probably before that. I mean, there were a couple of other exercises as well.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge,
Yes. But the point is, we don't want to know what that happened.
No, they don't want to know. And honestly, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Hold on just a second. We got to do this business. We'll be back. The pace at which people are bombarded now, those who are actually making even a half-hearted effort to stay abreast of what's happening, the pace is so overwhelming that people can't. They just can't. You and I are pros. Many of you listening probably consider yourselves professionals, and you are. You try. You care. My God, they're coming at us from every imaginable angle, around the clock, 25 hours a day. There's so many scenarios out there now that the average person just says, forget it.
But there is some margin of hope here, Jeff.
There's always a margin of hope where there are thinking people, yes?
The interesting facet of that news release today about the business of red and blue.
I'm not sure I got that. Please send that along.
I'll send it to you after I get off here. But the gist of this is roughly half the government is wavering, as far as we're concerned. A quarter of that number is on our side. Part of that number is definitely wavering. And in other words, it's a matter of the glass half full or the glass half empty. The government is finally, the people who work for it, the people, when they finally went this extra mile and released this information, I sent that to you as a priority, by the way. This entire unveiling, prematurely, of what we plan to do to our own citizens is having an an adverse effect on the people they're counting on to put this into play. This includes people in the military, includes people in the militant government services and the corporations, and all of this stuff that is lined up against us is not set in stone. And the one thing they're absolutely petrified about is that they will come over to our side and actually block this thing from going into effect. We don't have conclusive information on that yet, but it is, to the extent that they're willing to push this on making the entire country the enemy, with the exception of the people who work for the government, they have gone the extra mile to try and convince us how scary they are. We're convinced. We know they're scary, but they're not absolutely impervious. You cannot get away with this unless we let them. If we refuse, if we learn how to say no all over again. Once upon a time, we used to know how to say no. Now they put a gun to our heads and we learned how to say yes. We have to stop that. At the fundamental level of each and every person. I mean, people have been worried about their jobs and all this other baloney. That's all history anyway. They go through with this, you haven't got a job. Unless they say you can have one. They will take everything you have and put you in a camp. In exchange for food, because there won't be any more food. They planned on this in order to answer the economic collapse, which they have been instrumental in creating. So they figure that we don't have a choice. That we're locked into doing exactly what they say, and there's no choice for us at all. But there is a choice. And the more of us who become awake and alive and alert to what's going on, the greater the chance is that we can actually repel this forced situation that they have more than planned for decades to get this thing through. It's phenomenal stuff. And we need to find ways, as just ordinary people, to come together to get this thing to stop. Because if we don't, we haven't got a future, we don't have a world, and tomorrow is just one giant nightmare. And we're better than that. We can do this. It comes down to us. If we want to make it better, then we can make it better. Because whether or not it's the end of the day or the end of the coming year, or the end of this year, and the beginning of a black new year, the solutions that we're looking for are really up to us. We have to learn how to act in our own defense ways that we can.
Right. We have to set aside the fear. They've been instilling fear in people for decades now. They know how to do it. By the way, they also know how to do it electromagnetically. They've got RF, they can send out their EMF, whatever you want to call it, that will actually trigger in the mind extreme fear, anxiety, and stress. They can do that. Broadcast frequencies. They know exactly how to do that. In fact, they use it around the perimeters of military bases sometimes. So
but
they can do that.
I'm 72 years old, okay? I eat junk food, I drink, I smoke. I've got every bad habit in the world. There's nothing wrong with me. My mentality has not been depreciated, and I'm not special. The point is, what keeps us from, those of us who resist, from being caught up in this, is a willingness to live our lives the way we wish to live them. It's about the passion for living, for being alive, that makes the difference. And if you don't have that passion, then you really, you know, you deserted yourself on the right that you have to be alive. We have to fix that.
Well,
you know, and it's there. It's there in every human being. You just have to find the line beyond which you will not go. And once you find that line and stand there and refuse to go any further back, there's nothing they can do. They cannot force the entire country to do what they want. It's not possible. I don't care how much electronics they jam us with. Besides which, there's all these cowards that control the communications of the United States. That are everywhere. This city has thousands of them, okay? Without those towers, they can't communicate with each other. And all of their electronic bullshit dies. And I have a feeling the first time this stuff goes into effect, a lot of those towers are going to hit the ground. It's just kind of axiomatic. And there are a lot of people, a lot of vets, there are a lot of people out there that understand how the military works. And that without this electronic connection, all of those toys, all of that stuff, all that, those weapons, all of that electronic bullshit that has to do with RFID coding and tracking you and all that, it all goes up in smoke.
They
don't have electronics, it can't function.
I agree. I've often wondered what role our veterans might play in this.
Count on them, baby. They'll be there.
I think you're right. I think they know. They've been set up.
They know how the military works.
They've watched their friends.
They don't have to make a big declaration. All they got to do is go do the thing.
Right. They've watched their friends slaughtered. They've slaughtered people. For what? They know now. They've been there. They've done that. They know it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of anger there. And they medicate them all they want.
And the only way that they can get their pound of flesh in this is to do what they can do, because they know how to do it, to handicap these wannabe immortals that have total ownership of the world in mind.
Uh-huh.
And this could actually do it. We every scenario they throw at it completely depends on electronics. Every single one of them, from missiles to, without electronics, the Navy can't navigate. The Air Force can't fly. The missiles don't work. Everything stops without electronics, because they have sold their soul to technology. And within technology, all depends on electronic communication, which is satellite.
Two EMF bursts at 50,000 feet over this country will kill it electromagnetically. Mm-hmm. They're dead.
And the Chinese have that, and so do the Russians.
And probably others.
Just in case. And we're pushing both of them hard, okay? And it's not that unthinkable. It's not even a bomb, per se, except to electronics.
Correct.
And it shuts them down.
Airplanes fall out of the sky,
they
can't harden every microcircuit, no chance.
Right. Well, no, they purposely made a decision not to, because it was too expensive.
Yeah.
The only people that actually hardened their electronics were the Russians back during the Cold War.
Well, and the Russians,
and we laughed at them.
Yeah, the Russians and Chinese actually have civil defense programs, too.
Yeah.
Remember,
but
when's
we
the last
all
time
that
you heard of
saying,
ours?
Yeah, we don't need that stuff. It's a waste of money. We'll just overwhelm them. We'll overpower
everybody
who opposes it.
Hid behind mutual assured destruction, so we don't need it. So.
Right. But the irony of doing that is that we have left, the military has left us that gigantic gap in that what they think of as their absolutely, totally powerful shield that is going to allow them to turn us into a bunch of ants that they can stomp on.
Mm-hmm.
But without that shield, they're alone in the field. They're not going to be able to get supplies. They can't move. They won't know where to move because they don't know where the action is.
I would be very interested to see how many of our men and women in the military walk. That would be really interesting. That's something that they probably don't have a real handle on, and that probably does scare them.
Didn't plan on that.
No.
You see, it's all about what you plan on and what you don't plan on. And these guys did not do any planning, because they were so assured by the power and the force and the size and the military might of this nation that they thought, well, what can these people do against us? I mean, it's ridiculous. They forgot about the 400 million weapons in the hands of 300 million people. That didn't stop.
And billions of rounds of ammunition.
Yes, yes, millions upon millions. And these people are waiting for a trigger, and they just gave it to us today. They said, we're declaring war on every man, woman, and child in the United States. This is not in our corner.
Okay,
there's the trigger. So from now on, it's Katie bar the door. This is trouble. Big time. It has arrived. We're not waiting for it anymore. It's here. And we're going to have to do something about it.
Well, and going to the ballot box is not the answer.
Say what?
Going to the ballot box and voting is not the answer.
We wished. We tried. My God, we tried so hard.
We don't bite on that anymore.
When you have 369 members of Congress voting against the people of the United States.
That's right.
Out of 535.
Right.
And over 300 of them had already signed on the dotted line that they and they alone were sworn to protect Israel above all else. They only needed 60 extra votes.
That's the truth.
And those were the people that were sucking up. I mean, Montana today launched a recall for their senators.
That's interesting.
That voted against it.
Yeah, not every state has that mechanism, and I hope Montana pulls it off. That's a really encouraging move.
Well, the other states could get creative.
They should.
They could find ways.
Well, they have to. It's states' rights is the last bastion, really. If these states came through, things would change. We'll see. Montana's a very interesting story.
Yeah. Anyway, there is good news out there, and I just don't want people to forget about the fact that the news could be half full as well as half empty.
Well, we'll see soon enough. 2012, they got a lot of things planned for us. It's going to be a madhouse, that's for sure. Jim, thanks.
We'll be here as long as we can.
Yeah, we will. Thanks so much for everything. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Jim Kerwin, one of our featured writers and totally a unique American patriot.